back here on The Scoop. The Minnesota Vikings victorious yesterday over the Miami Dolphins by a final score of 41-17. Here to help us break down everything we saw yesterday, we're joined, as always, by AJ Mansour of KFAN 100.3 FM. Boy, AJ, I don't know if we could have figured a better debut for Kevin Stefanski as offensive coordinator. That was something yesterday.
Yeah, it worked out all right. You can make the same players, the same offense look a whole lot different by just a few small tweaks. And the reports are that's what he did, that's what they did, and it worked out pretty well.
Well, it seemed yesterday that it seemed like they just simplified everything, and that was a topic around the facility and on Twitter as well, that it seemed like they just needed to kind of simplify and get back to the things that they did well. And for as many issues as this Vikings offensive line has had, boy, did they dictate the tempo yesterday.
They did. They came out of the gates just mean mugging everybody. That first half, the offensive line didn't look like they were the same players. They had a different attitude. They were opening up holes for the running backs to run through, and it paid off. You know, it was a situation where, you know, I think Mike Zimmer today said that they ran the same play 10 different times with 10 different variations. And that was really what we're hearing is the main difference from John DeFilippo to Kevin Stefanski was you find something that you do well and keep doing it. You know, you can change it up a little bit. It doesn't have to be identical, but go back to the well. If it's working and you're feasting, keep feasting. Don't change it up. Don't overthink it. Don't outthink yourself and outsmart yourself. Keep doing what you guys do well, and that's what they did yesterday. 10 times the same play with slight variations.
I know this Dolphins defense, nothing to write home about, but still, there was potential for this game to end as a close game. I mean, it was 21-17 at one point, but it just seemed like this Vikings team really understood the urgency, and they knew how much yesterday's game mattered, because when it did get to that point where things tightened up a little bit, 21-17, after that, the Vikings got right back on track, and they were able to effectively run out the game.
Yeah, they did, and it was able to, get a light a little fire under their butt and get them going again. I think, you know, a personnel change can do that, but at the same time, it's players kind of just refocusing and getting back on track with what they're supposed to be doing, and they did that. So they had the opportunity then to kind of start this three-game stretch as you finish the season, make a playoff push, get momentum back going the way of the Minnesota Vikings before they go into the playoffs and start playing winning teams on a weekly basis.
Dalvin Cook had by far his best game of the season and one of the best of his young career. And he just really showed how much of a difference he can make for this Vikings team. I mean, 136 yards, two touchdowns, and that spin move just absolutely decimated the Dolphins defense all day long. How impressive was Dalvin's performance yesterday?
It was really impressive. You know, that was the first 100-yard performance that he's had since his debut game, you know, a year ago, a year and a half ago, whatever it might have been. To see him fully healthy, to see him fully engaged and fully utilized in this offense really shows what this team could be and really shows the potential. It kind of, you know, frustrates you that you didn't have him last year, that you didn't have this version of him earlier this season, because you just start to think, you know, what could have been if he was out there playing the way that he played yesterday on a more regular basis. And, you know, you can't do that all the time because you can't predict an injury. Injuries are just going to happen, and no one planned on that. So to have him back out there to get him involved in the offense the way that he was to help balance it out, I think really showcases what he can do and what kind of a piece in this offense he can be going forward.
AJ, considering how many slow starts we've seen for this Vikings offense, how encouraging was it to see them be able to score on their first three possessions, take that 21-point lead, to take a little bit of the pressure off the defense so that they don't have to consistently hold teams to, you know, a touchdown to 14 points? How important was that offensive start?
You know, this it's going to sound silly because it's probably this way for every team, but, you know, I feel like for whatever reason, more so for the Minnesota Vikings, scoring first is the most important thing that you could possibly do. You know, their game plan, both on the offensive and defensive sides of the football, is very different when they are playing from behind, and they just don't do that well. We've seen it earlier this season. They're not able to run the ball because they have to pass. You have to catch up and get big chunk yardages. They're not able to rush the passer on the defensive side of the ball because they don't know what the other team is doing. You know, yesterday's game, you knew that the Dolphins were going to pass when they got down 21-0. So in that second half, they could pin their ears back. Ended up getting 8 sacks in the second half of that football game alone. So getting out early, finding that success, not only just to build your confidence, but it really dictates and allows you to call the game that you want to call. And I think for the Vikings, maybe more so than any other team in the NFL, that's maybe the most important thing that they can do going forward these next couple weeks.
I want to ask you, which performance was more impressive yesterday? Was it the offense getting 41 points, or was it the defense? I know you look at the final score. The Dolphins had 17 points, but Ryan Tannehill threw for 100 yards, and the Vikings sacked him 9 times. That defense was just dominant yesterday, too.
Yeah, you know, I'd have to give the nod to the defense. You know, the offense came out and they scored 21 points right away. But, you know, I'll equate the rest of the points that the Vikings scored in that second half to success on the defensive side of the football. You know, some of those touchdowns late in the game came off of short fields that the defense had gotten a turnover on downs. They forced a turnover in one way or the other to get the ball deep in Dolphins territory, so it gave the offense a short field. So, yeah, they scored 41 points, and I don't want to, you know, overlook that. But at the same time, I think the defense was really what was setting the table for the Vikings to continue feasting all throughout the afternoon. And to see the way that they did it, you know, you got 8 sacks, and you have a bunch of people that are getting mixed in there. Everson Griffin, Anthony Barr, Daniil Hunter, Mackenzie Alexander. Up and down, you had different guys that were contributing in big ways. I think that's encouraging as you get down the stretch here, too, to know that your big-name players, some of your role players are really going to jump up and do something important here for this team as they get down the stretch and make a run for the playoffs.
Not to be outdone, the special teams unit had their best game of the season by far yesterday. Dan Bailey hit all of his kicks, 5 of 5 on extra points, 2 of 2 on field goals. Marcus Sherrills had a 70-yard punt return. And it seemed like for the first time this year, we saw a truly complete performance by this Vikings team all the way through the game, which was very refreshing.
Yeah, you know, that was one of the themes that you kept hearing throughout the afternoon. After the game was that the Vikings played complementary football. Top to bottom, offense, defense, special teams, they were all doing what they were supposed to. They've had games this year where the offense has done something and the defense has played poor. The defense has done well and the special teams has some flubs that cost them points and cost them games. But this was the first game really where it was complementary across the board. All three phases played well, contributed to the game, and really had an impact on the outcome. And that's what you want to see this time of year as the playoffs are looming and then you're looking to get this team on a roll going into the postseason. So really good sign for hopefully things that are to come, and if they can keep it going, it'll be a big deal.
AJ, looking at just some other things as we shift gears and look towards the Lions matchup coming up next, I want to talk about the two youngsters on in the defensive backfield, Holton Hill and Mackenzie Alexander. It seemed like they both had outstanding games against the Dolphins yesterday, and really shows that, you know, for all the questions as to some of these picks that have been made by Mike Zimmer, he really knows how to get those guys coached up so that they can be integral parts of the defense.
Well, that's the interesting thing, too, is it doesn't always become impactful in their rookie season. And I think in today's day and age where you need to see an impact right away or it's going to be called a bust and everyone's going to ridicule you for the pick, that happens all too often. We saw it with Trey Wayne. We saw it with Mackenzie Alexander. You know, Holton Hill's a little different situation, went undrafted because of some off-the-field situations, but, you know, diamond in the rough potential there for him, too. Mike Zimmer really knows what he's doing, and if he has the time to get these guys going, and you know, for Mackenzie Alexander, it wasn't talent, it was just a maturity situation. You know, he was doing some bonehead things each and every week that cost his team yardage, that cost his team plays. And now that he's gotten that taken care of, that's been the biggest jump for me, is seeing what he has been able to do this season, how he's been able to bounce back and really have an impact has been incredibly impressive. I mean, it's not just the four sacks, which leads the league for defensive backs. It's the coverage across the middle that he has, the passes defensed. He had a couple of good plays yesterday where they tried to pick on him, and he went up and then said, "You're not going to do that here. You don't do that to me anymore." So to see his progression, especially in a year where Mike Hughes has really, his absence has been felt in the depth, and with Xavier Rhodes in and out, and Trey Wayne's having some injuries too, having Mackenzie Alexander step up has been really big for this team.
I should ask as well. I can't leave David Morgan out because he has been a big part of the success for this offense in terms of running the ball, and his presence was definitely a welcome sight in the game yesterday as well.
Yeah, you know, David's my guy. So let's say, you know, they don't score 41 points a game without David Morgan, right? But the reality is, you know, I don't know how much he really did or had to do because of the way the rest of the offensive line was playing. So for a guy who's missed 5 weeks, four games, it was a good get him back on the field, get him back up to speed kind of a game for him where you don't have to rely on him entirely to get that run game going because everyone else is playing pretty well. So he had some opportunities to get out there, did some good things, probably did some things that he wants to fix next time. But going forward, having a healthy David Morgan is going to be very important when you face these big pass rushers that are going to be impactful off the edge.
Final one before we look at the Lions matchup. What did you think of the day for Kirk Cousins? He threw the pick six, but it seemed like he was much more confident in the game plan offensively. It seemed like they did a better job of getting him rolled out and keeping the pocket clean. What did you think of Kirk's performance?
Yeah, he looked comfortable. That's kind of the way I'll sum it up is. There was still some pressure, but they did a good job of moving the pocket, of moving the quarterback, getting him some space, avoiding the rush, and really finding him time to throw the ball to his receivers. Again, they ran the ball a lot, and they ran it well, so he didn't have to wear all that weight on his shoulders for this game either. So he looked comfortable. I think that's the situation where you're going to see your best Kirk Cousins. I think he started 7 for 7 or something like that. You know, it was just an offensive explosion for this team across the board in the first quarter. I think the first team all season in the NFL to have 200-plus yards offense in the first quarter of a game. So things were going well for Kirk. Things were going well for that offense. And if you can continue to do what you did yesterday, which small sample size, hopefully we can see some more, I think that's where this team is going to be their best.
On to the Lions at Ford Field this weekend, and for Detroit, they've been trending in the wrong direction. They lost to Buffalo 14-13 yesterday, so they've lost three out of their last four games. And it seems like there's really not much left to this Lions team. Matthew Stafford losing a lot of his weapons offensively, defensive players that are out of the lineup. But still, it's the Lions, and it seems like if there's something weird that can happen between these two teams, it always does against Detroit.
Yeah, you know, in a game where you're coming off 8 or 9 sacks against the Miami Dolphins, you remember last time the Lions and the Vikings played, they had 10 sacks. So, you know, something like that could happen again. The Vikings seem to always have the Lions' number late in the season, and when you have that opportunity to face a team that doesn't really have anything to be playing for, that's where it's going to be the kind of situation where, you know, the Detroit Lions, as a team, the coach is already getting frustrated saying things in the media. It might be a team that doesn't have any interest in playing versus a team that's going to look to maybe wrap up their playoff seeding and really get themselves set up for Week 17 when there's nothing to play for.
And we'll see what happens this weekend. We thank you, AJ, for joining the show to recap Vikings-Dolphins. Hopefully we're talking about that clinched playoff spot or regardless, a Vikings win when we catch up with you again next week.
Sounds good. We'll talk to you later.